from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, October 6th. Coming up, we'll learn about new research about how to best convince unvaccinated people to get the COVID-19 shot. That story from Illinois Newsroom's health reporter Christine Herman is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A new report is calling for more robust health and housing support for LGBT Illinoisans as they age. Caroline Kobzanski has more.
About two-thirds of aging LGBT adults are concerned about consistent elder care, according to a report by AARP Illinois and Sage USA, a nationwide organization that advocates for LGBT seniors. Sage's executive director, Michael Adams, says the social safety net for LGBT seniors is inherently thinner, especially when it comes to long-term care.
We live in a society where adult children, along with spouses, are the primary sources of caregiving support in our society.
But LGBT adults are four times less likely to have children to take care of them as they age. Financial stability is another concern. Nearly a third of LGBT seniors live at or below twice the federal poverty line, compared to just a quarter of the general population. To combat these disparities, the report recommends more widespread training for social service workers and increased funding for affordable and emergency housing programs. I'm Caroline Kobzanski.
Plans for the world's first carbon-neutral industrial park are gaining momentum in Putnam County. Mark Marquis is CEO of Marquis Energy in Hennepin. He plans to achieve carbon-neutral status on the 2,500-acre industrial site by sequestering carbon in the ground. Marquis says most of central and southern Illinois is inundated with sandstone, uniquely suited to this purpose.
Low-carbon business is something that Illinois, given where it's located geology-wise, Illinois can be the leading state in low-carbon business going into the future and do more than its part to reverse climate change.
Marquis says the industrial park site could currently store about 4 million tons of CO2 per year. A group of public commenters chastised the Normal Town Council during its regular meeting Monday night about the town's removal of artwork honoring Jelani Day. Day is a Danville native and Illinois State University graduate student whose recent death police continue to investigate. The Day portrait was posted early last week on the exterior of a public-owned building in the center of town. Officials removed it shortly after, citing town rules for posting on public buildings, and promised to relocate the poster. Jelani Day was a black man, and many commenters told the council they didn't believe the portrait would have been removed if he were white. Authorities identified Day's remains on September 23rd, 3 weeks after discovering the body near Peru, Illinois. He'd been missing since August 24th. Champaign County public health officials reported 21 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases is down to about 460. 16 Champaign County residents are currently hospitalized with the virus. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several area counties, reported 55 patients with COVID-19 yesterday, down slightly from Monday. 10 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, new survey research shows that when it comes to pro-vaccine campaigns, certain messages can actually backfire. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Since COVID-19 vaccines have been made widely available, public health officials have presented different messaging for why Americans should get the shot. And according to new survey research from the Chicago-based company Civis Analytics, messages emphasizing vaccine safety can backfire, leading to greater hesitancy. But campaigns focused on the financial costs of COVID and the need to protect children are most likely to be effective. Those findings are based on a survey of more than 5,000 unvaccinated U.S. adults. To learn more, Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman spoke with Crystal Sun, a data scientist with Civis Analytics, who led the study.
I've heard public health experts say that it's not just what the message is that's important, but also who the messenger is. And I know that that's kind of beyond the scope of this survey research, but how do you imagine that that factors into how the survey results are taken and applied? It's got to be both and, right?
It does, yeah. So ideally, you would have different sets of messengers, and then each of those messengers gives the same set of different messages. So you'd have like the physician deliver the message about financial costs, and then you'd also have an employer deliver the message about financial costs, for instance. It makes for a very complicated experiment and would require a lot of people to participate. What we have done in the past is we've worked with an organization, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, that was really interested in employers and how they should talk to to their employees about getting vaccinated. And we put scripted things in the employer's voice. And we find exactly what you would expect, which is that a message like the vaccine, you know, talking about sort of like the science and the morbidity, mortality due to COVID. So a little bit, it has a little bit more medical text to it, a little bit more scientific jargon. That could be something that is effective if your doctor or somebody who has a scientific background delivers that, but that's not something that employees want to hear from their employers.
Huh. Okay. And so I also understand that your primary audience for these research findings is like public health officials who are trying to do messaging around the vaccine. But are there lessons to be learned by like everyday people? Like say I have a family member or relative who's still vaccine hesitant. Do you think some of these lessons also apply to those kinds of conversations? And if so, like what would be your advice to someone who's trying to navigate a conversation with a vaccine hesitant friend?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't have the data from our experiment is definitely set up so that it's most useful for an organization that's talking to a wider audience rather than just like individual one-on-one conversations. But I do think that the themes, which we keep noticing, you know, a couple of themes, generally, repeatedly, we see that being negative in your messaging, so trying to scare people into getting vaccinated because COVID is really scary and it's expensive and dangerous, or guilting people and saying like, do it for your grandmother. Those are not messages that we see to be persuasive, but more importantly, the way we do our testing, we can actually measure if something is less, it is likely to make someone less likely to get vaccinated. We call that negative backlash, which is not something that to date I have not seen any organizations actually like considering that as a possibility. I think that that could hold very much true for individual conversations as well. I mean, I think it may feel very, you know, like you're taking action and like you're doing something effective to try to guilt someone and make them feel scared. But that's not really something that we find to be, that isn't something that we would recommend.
That's Crystal Sun, data scientist with Civis Analytics. She spoke with Illinois Newsroom's health reporter, Christine Herman. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with occasional showers and a high of 74 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Caroline Kubzanski, Tim Shelley, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.